From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that in several ways. One, we tell stories on our show that are meant to inspire, educate, connect. We also do that through the Growth Factory, which is our venture fund. We invest into local startups, and it's all around this backyard advantage theme, right? The most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs, based around a culture of love, which is really engineering wins and helping one another. And that's kind of what we're doing here with the show as well. And I was just talking to our guest today, Brian Flaherty. He is the publisher and market president of the Sacramento Business Journals. He's like, you've been doing this quite a long time, haven't you? And I have. I've been doing it 11 years. And you are the new Sacramento Business Journal, the man over there.
I am, yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome to the show.
And Thank you.
And I didn't really realize until you pointed this out that I've met your wife before. She is in media.
Yes.
And she's famous.
We have two ends of the media spectrum covered.
So. Wow, yeah. So she is the front of camera person. Yep. And I always think of you as, you know, this email I get, I guess, daily from you. So your name is known to anybody who subscribes to the Sacramento Business Journal because we get the email and it's sort of the news of the day in the world of business in Sacramento. And so you almost feel like, you know the name. But today what I want to do is know the guy behind the name a little bit. So go a little bit deeper. We'll do talk some about Sacramento and the media landscape and the business community here. But I think getting to know the guy that, you know, that runs the show over there at the Business Journal, because you guys do so many great things for our community and for the business community specifically. So with that said, is it okay if I just sort of get to know you a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'll tell you once, you know, I was happy to see when those emails changed from my predecessor to me, there wasn't a big unsubscribe rate. So I was kind of tracking that pretty closely, a little worried about what was going to happen there.
That's funny because, okay, so David Lichtman, your predecessor,
yes,
has been on the show for a long time.
Yep.
Good looking guy. But you are a great looking family. I mean, you specifically, you have the hair. Dave wasn't like, his hair wasn't made him such a stud.
Yeah.
He was, he had, you could see a lot of his head. He was bald, but at some level. But you got the hair. I noticed that when I first saw the
picture
now,
of you. Right?
Yeah,
for now, right?
He still looks good.
A 3-month-old and a 6-month-old and a new job might take a little, few hairs away from me, but
it's working. Yeah, I love it. Well, if I forget to say it, tell Molly hi.
Will do, absolutely.
And I hope she remembers who I am from some things that we've done. But
okay,
so let's get to know you. Okay, so maybe just your background and what led you into this line of work, and then maybe we'll get to know you a little bit on the personal level.
Sure.
Too.
You know, I think that led me to this job specifically, and I'll get into why I love this job, why this is the job I want for the rest of my life, is I moved every 5 years of my life. So actually, coincidentally, family started in Davis. Folks went to school there, born there, jumped over Walnut Creek, went to Wisconsin after that, went to Idaho for much of my high school years, went to Oregon for school, Portland, lived in Portland after that. You know, you meet a Sacramento girl and then she brings you back to the place. I had no intentions of coming back. Not that it's not a great place to live, but it was never on my mind. And then you meet Molly up in Oregon and we're down here.
Oh, did you meet in college?
We met just after college.
Okay.
So a lot of University of Oregon students flowed up to Portland after school for jobs. A couple friends group came together. Molly was doing some international Facebook news. Organization. So she was on camera there, and then I was doing some media buying for local TV and radio. So kind of a similar industry. All of a sudden, Molly jumps into local news. Now we're really doing some similar things.
How did you guys meet? Tell me about what happened. Was it love at first sight? Was it just like,
you know, it was a little bit of that. You know, coincidentally, it was after Brewfest. You know, Portland has a big Brewfest up
there.
Everybody's
a little more relaxed.
Everyone was relaxed. We had some good beers, but like I said, a couple of friend groups came together being up in Portland, and it was a little bit like love at first sight. And we had similar backgrounds. the more I got to know her, and this, obviously we didn't know this from day one, but our birthdays are a day apart. We were both born in this region, both kind of grew up in the Catholic school system. Parents have, like, one of her close family friends went to high school with my dad. One of her neighbors went to college with my mom in Davis. So it's like, holy cow. You know, and a real funny story is both were in journalism at U of O, lived in the same dorm. U of O's not that big of a school. Big brand, not big school. Same, like I said, same age. Never, didn't she even look familiar to me when I first met her?
Okay, so you both went to the University of Oregon, yep. And you're both in journalism.
Yep.
And hadn't
same,
met.
Same major, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. So talk about meant to be. And probably better we met after school, right? So,
yeah. You calmed down a little bit.
A smidge more yeah, mature, but yeah. I mean, it felt right away, and it accelerated fast. Dated for several years, actually got married down here in Sacramento while we were living up there still, and then ventured down here in 2020.
Wow. Okay. So this is interesting. So I'll talk more about journalism in a minute, yeah. But. You mentioned you moved around. Tell me about you as a kid and why'd you move around and what, I imagine that probably presented challenges in some way. I mean, it seems like it would be hard to, I grew up in Roseville. I live in Loomis. I've never gone anywhere. So I don't, so I am always interested in these people that have had more of a worldly life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I got away from that first question, but literally every 5 years of my life, almost to the, on the clock or on the calendar, dad's job. So my dad's job, the headquarters was in California, which he started here and then and eventually moved around the United States, opening and running plants in a potato business. So naturally, my last stop was Idaho. My folks are still there. But, you know, it is hard, right? In different times of my life, it was whether, you know, going into ninth grade or going into some pivotal year. It's like it was natural. But however, it became natural for us. It became natural for us to learn how to stick together as a family. We learned how to be adaptable. We learned how to carry ourselves in various rooms and understand how to fit in that room. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily changing who we are, but, you know, adapting to different cultures, adapting different styles of individuals. And, you know, I think that plays really well into my job today, where that's what I'm doing for a living and listening and understanding people and just soaking in who they are and what they do. It opened us up to a lot of different parts of the country, right? We left Walnut Creek, California on New Year's Eve in 1998 into a negative five blizzard happening in central Wisconsin.
Oh.
So Wisconsin. Us California kids are like, holy cow, what's going
on here?
Only time
I've been to Wisconsin is in the summertime to see Packers game.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend going in on New Year's Eve.
September. So journalism.
Yes.
I was the sports editor of my high school newspaper. So I've always been fascinated with the topic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I ever seriously thought, well, maybe I'll be a journalist. Although it kind of crosses your mind when you take it all the way through high school. I actually had my own column, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really interesting. So I was trained at some level to understand a very high school level journalism. What made you want to go into journalism, though, specifically? Because it seems like the type of thing where someone would need to be curious and probably a good writer.
Yep. You know, I actually started kind of through the advertising route.
Okay.
So advertising and marketing was what I was looking to do. Went to journalism school. That advertising department fell under journalism school versus falling under the business school. Through advertising, you learn the importance of storytelling and putting your brand forward. And so there's a lot of crossover with kind of the traditional journalism, journalistic integrity and sense of journalism. Started my career in media buying, doing some, spending money on TV and radio, essentially. Mm-hmm. Jumped over to the sales side at the Business Journal in Portland. You know, somebody explained to me that there's this little sector of media called the Business Journal that's got a pretty powerful presence among some very important people in each city we're in. So I opened my eyes very quickly to what it was and just absolutely fell in love with it from that point on. Got it. And, you know, coming from the sales side, boy, do our doors are open a lot more because we can go to somebody and with the credibility of what we do behind the scenes, right? We have a lot of pride in the news product we produce. It's very authentic. It has a lot of integrity. It's very important to us. And so when you learn that benefit, when you're trying to sell somebody, advertising or sponsorships, whatever we're offering, you understand the importance of that.
Journalistic integrity. Maybe just touch on this for a second, because it seems to me that in a world that's filled with social media, and when we watch the mainstream media on TV, and even the Sacramento Bee, it can feel like there's clickbait, and they're trying to get under your skin with their headlines, and they want, you know, they're basically wanting, they want eyeballs. They're selling that view versus a very balanced representation of the information. And I don't see that with the Business Journal. It's basically the facts. It's not glamored up or anything like that in a way that would make you, I don't know, want to just click on it necessarily.
Yeah. It's a little nature and nurture for us.
Okay.
You know, we are business news. We are local business news yesterday. We are local business news today, and we'll be local business news tomorrow. We don't have to touch politics. We don't talk about crime. We don't talk about homelessness to the extent that it's starting to, it does, but to the extent that it's a business story. So, you know, that's a safe place in today's media landscape. It's hard. I'm not saying anything negatively about my peers out there, but it's hard to be able to cover politics today where you're not a lightning rod and getting struck on or getting, you know, having opinions thrown at you from either direction when you're trying, you know, you're doing your best to try and to stay in the center lane, particularly on the local side, you know, speaking to the local folks. I know that there's the national folks that have one way or the other. But
the other thing, you know, there's obviously the national and the local, but I often wondered about David, you know, because I knew David, or know him, but I knew him pretty well because he's, you know, it's interesting. We cross the same paths all the time when you're out there doing what we do at the Growth Factory and my show and stuff. And then you run into Business Journal people all the time. And so David was really good about being out there. But there's a group of business people. It's like we're a small town. So when you have to tell the truth about somebody who is going through a hard time, let's say it's a bankruptcy or a lawsuit against somebody, it's just information that you need to get out there to not play favorites. But you're sometimes having to say something that might come across as negative to one of your friends or somebody that you know pretty well, and you're probably going to see them at an event, you know, day after tomorrow. I've always wondered how hard that must be. Cause I just try, like your wife, she seems like she shares really positive stories. Good morning, Sacramento, or good day, Sacramento.
Good day. Yep.
Good day, Sacramento. And we always, I don't get real political on this show, and it's basically positive. I'm trying to highlight, you know, great things. But you're telling it more balanced, and so there is news that is not that good. They are not that easy to hear.
And that's the other part of that nurture part that I was, you know, the nature part's the facts. That's what we do, business news. Our company's been committed to maintaining that accurate, fair, hear both side lens for a long time. And that is just up and down throughout the culture of the organization. Family owned organization that at early on that was just so important to them. And that has benefited us so much in the long run.
Interesting.
I've
had friends that were pissed and about a story where they were included in the story and are like, that's, you know, no, and I don't know anything about the story necessarily, but I can't even think of anything. I can think of a couple specifically, but I won't bring them up. But I can see the guy's point, and then I can see the point of I'm doing my job.
Yeah, there's those hard conversations, and I've been a part of a few of them already. And
Really?
You know, is it fair? Is it accurate? Did we get something wrong? If we didn't hear from you, and we always try to get that both sides opinion. If you don't respond to us, we put at the bottom of the article, we did not hear or they did not comment back. So, you know, when we have those calls, those are the first questions we ask. If things need to be adjusted, we don't like to do it. We don't do it often, but we are open to that. We're not so stuck on our ways that we can't walk something back. But it is, it's the role, the responsibility I have, the responsibility our editor in chief has, and the rest of us have, because for the future of our business, it's everything. I mean, there's stories about, I won't share specifics, but we have a market out in the Carolinas that there was a massive client, close to half, I think, of what
they did a lot of advertising.
They didn't like a story we wrote about him, and it was a big conversation about.
Wow.
They pulled it all, and we said, we're sorry. Like, mm-hmm. this is, we have to maintain this credibility. Because it might have been an easy win to just make it go away. Nobody may have noticed. We would have kept that investment and moved forward. But in the long run, those kind of things are going to get out, and that's what's going to would start sinking us. Mm-hmm. I have leadership that supports me if that kind of situation happens.
How does that get amplified? How does that move up the escalation ladder in terms of decision making? So somebody's got a hot scoop. They mm-hmm. want to run the story. Mm-hmm. Do they have autonomy? Does the editor-in-chief review? Does it get to you? How does that work?
Yeah, editor-in-chief really runs the news department.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, him and I talk about...
What's that guy's name?
Adam Steinhauer.
Oh, yeah.
Steinhauer, Sonia Sorich, managing editor. Two great editors and folks leading our newsroom.
Yeah.
They have complete autonomy. When things escalate, Adam handles most of those situations. When they bubble up to a point where... I may have to take the call or get involved. Mm-hmm. That's the publisher's role at that point. But okay. Adam does a pretty good job managing those. And we don't have them very often. You would think, I'll probably get some nasty ones, like the example that you shared with somebody who I've broken bread with.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't even know this story was happening. Or I am kind of in the loop when these types of stories are being developed or being looked into. That's the responsibility we have.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's what we have to do for the market, right?
I've met Adam a few times. Yeah. Really nice guy. One of the things last time I saw him, it might have been a year ago or so, but he mentioned something about you guys considering doing podcasting mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. maybe that things might change on the digital side. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have I love the Business Journal emails that I get from you, and formerly it was David Lichtman, and so I could click on a story and get the news that happened like today or yesterday. It was almost real time instead of waiting for the weekly one to come in the in the mail, and then you read it, and then there's other links that are like that you can click on of past stories that might be related. So it's really, you can kind of get yourself a little education just by clicking on one story. So I really like that. I'd probably click on something every day. And one of the things I really appreciate, among others, but I sort of wonder like how soon you'll be introducing new types of products that are ones that I gravitate toward.
Yeah, yeah, like podcasts.
Podcasts. I think I would gravitate toward a podcast.
Yeah, we have some markets that try it. It's our audience is reading us and engaging with our content when most of the time when they're at their desk and they're 9 to 5. And so, there's a lot of questions about should we be in the video space? Should we be in the podcast space? Will people change their habits to while they're sitting at their desk and listen to something or watch something? We don't know. We're trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. One thing, and I had this talk with some folks yesterday, I'm pretty bullish that our news coverage and our events are best in class. I want our brand to, everything we do, when you see the Business Journal brand associated with it, it is to the highest quality. And I think our events and our news product do that. I think our marketing services do that. So if we go into these spaces that we're maybe not as familiar with, we want to make sure we're doing it to the best of our abilities. And something that our audience, like yourself, would see that and be like, oh, that feels like a Business Journal experience. Okay. So we're learning. We're probably maybe a little behind other news organizations. I'm not sure, but we have a unique audience. They adapt differently. They are a smidge older than your average media consuming audience. And so we have a little bit of time to kind of wait and see how others react, but we're trying things. There's been some successful podcasts that are both market, client produced that we help amplify mm-hmm. and editorially produced that have found some success.
Okay. So
we need a beautiful studio like this.
Yes.
This is what we're missing.
It's yours. You can use it anytime.
All right. We'll take you up on that.
So question about the overarching Business Journal empire. So mm-hmm. you've got the Sacramento, mm-hmm. Portland. How mm-hmm. many are there?
There are 46 now. We actually just opened Fort Worth Business Journal. Dallas has been a successful one for a long mm-hmm. time. We've tried a Dallas / Fort Worth Business Journal as a combo. we've learned that those cities are drastically different.
Interesting.
And Fort Worth, I guess, is the 10th biggest city in the United States.
Wow. Right now, so. I always just think of it as one big city, but yeah. I'm not there. Yeah. So
currently we have 40 journals that have publisher and events. When you have a publisher and events, you do have a little bit, your market, your share, and your impact is much greater. The digital only markets that we have are sometimes smaller markets. Some of the, you know, LA, New York, Chicago, we only have a digital market. Those newspapers and those legacy journals really dominate there, and they haven't been able to acquire them at the rate that we'd like to. But yeah, so we are, what I've heard is we are one of three business news organizations that are growing. In fact, publications that are growing, us, the Wall Street Journal, and New York Times. And we're not doing it through acquisition. We are doing it just purely based on subscription growth and wow. marketing growth. So we are very proud of who we are.
There's a stickiness to your product. Is. Yeah.
We're dedicated, right? You know, we got to figure out how to get younger, right? And there's a significant amount of folks leaving the workforce that have been great friends of ours and great advocates for us for a long time. So we've got some challenges ahead. But again, our product has been so consistent and so authentic. And our brands are so strong in those markets, particularly where we have the publisher and event experience, that I think we'll adapt. And I think our audience will help us get there if we don't.
Mm-hmm. So the ownership, you mentioned that it began as a family business. Yep. How is it owned today?
Yeah. So we're under Advance Publications, the Newhouse family based in New York. And so they acquired us from the Shaw family. The history I can't always rattle off right away, but started in Kansas City back in the 80s, and then started acquiring journals from there and launching journals. The Shaws are still involved. Whit Shaw's our CEO, Kirk Shaw's our CFO. Their children are within the organization too. So it's a great place to be. It's based in Charlotte. And every time I go, it feels right. It just feels right.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's a great story. And it's interesting to me that you're one of three growing. Only three are growing?
That's my understanding. Okay. From a national publication standpoint, there's three that can point to subscription growth. And you know, we made a great bet back in mid 2015, 2014. The internet was becoming everything for news. A lot of folks continue to charge for their print product and make their internet content free. Mm. We said, what's the difference? We're charging for internet content from day one. You can't... Our colleagues and our friends had a hard time putting that toothpaste back in the tube, and we didn't necessarily have to. So that was a great bet that we made. We're kind of looking at this AI experience, this AI change to our industry, keeping a close eye on what others are doing, hoping one of those other folks will jump first, and we'll kind of follow and see what they're doing. But my gut is that my hope is, and my expectation is that when we have to make another bet, when it comes to the change in how news is produced and how news is consumed, that we're on the right side of that again.
Yeah, I could see a business journal GPT type of product.
Yeah. We are working on that. I mean, for within our ecosystem, kind of creating our own our own AI experience, where I can say experience a lot today, where it references all the content that we've produced over the 15 years we've been putting content online.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. And I think that we're all getting more comfortable with AI, even though the media wants to paint the side of a story that has us fearful of it. I think most of us are pretty excited about all the ways it improves our productivity and less worried about the doomsday kind of scenarios.
Yeah, and you know, I think for the journalists on our staff who are top notch, it gives them, you know, our mission is to, first of all, educate, inform, and connect. So we've got a lot in common. But it gives them the opportunity to, maybe there's something opening or maybe something is sold, right? What's the great, how does that fit within the larger context of what's happening? And that's what a good journalist can do. And that's what a good reporter can tie to. AI can't necessarily do that. So, you know, when you read our content, look for that. And that's why you said, you know, you read something, you see those links that associates with it. We want you to see the whole story here. You know, AI can pull a permit and tell you that something's opening. We need to go that level deeper and show that the folks that are writing our content are boots on the ground in Sacramento. They're talking to real people, and they're writing it themselves. And so that's what we're really focused on now, and making sure that when you read that, you understand there's no way. You have an expert journalist covering that.
I love it.
Okay, so maybe we talk a little bit about different sectors of the focus of the business journal, and because business is kind of a broad category, even though maybe it might feel a little bit like a niche. But Mark Anderson is a guy that I talk to kind of on a regular basis. Every once in a while on my phone, he's calling me about something to do with the startup community. So in terms of entrepreneurship and startup, what are you seeing in that landscape, and maybe just kind of an idea of the importance of that category within the business journal?
So you're the expert of this field, but it's interesting. It ebbs and flows for us based on what readers are interested in, pretty dramatically. I mean, one week it can be one of our top stories, one week it might not, and it can be a pretty similar story. So our folks really care about real estate and jobs, and so when we get to see startups, first of all, start here, and then most importantly, stay here and grow here. That's the story we really want to own from start to finish.
I'm amazed at what Mark uncovers, because I don't think I've ever done like a press release. Mm-hmm. You know, we've invested into, I don't know how, 100 plus for me, and if you can include the Growth Factory, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So he amazingly uncovers stories about the venture capital and startup areas that I don't know about.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I know about it and he asked me, but it's amazing the stuff that he somehow gets to him. And I don't think it's through press releases, because that's startups. We don't do a lot of press releases. Yeah.
Well, he's been at it with us for about 35 years. Oh, so Mark, talk about a guy that's connected to this business environment. He's one of the most tenured reporters we have across the country. So, Mark is a sponge of knowledge. I mean, he sits right outside my office, and I hear the conversations he has, not only on his own beat, but when somebody else has something come up and how he can comment on their beat on something, some piece of property or some company and the history of that. It's unbelievable. So I think he's got a true talent for that and an eye. You know him. He's a great guy. He's an incredible guy to sit down and talk with and just kind of hear his perspective. So
I don't know if he grew up in Roseville or not, but I believe he worked for the Press Tribune, which was a Roseville local paper. Mm-hmm. And so it's like he's been here. He's seen the enormous growth and all the changes. So it's pretty cool. I guess I'm agreeing that when you talk to him, you're dealing with somebody who didn't just get here necessarily.
Yep. Yeah. And, going back to your question, that is a sector that if we see our Austin Business Journal, right? Tech is everything to them. The San Francisco Business Times, if you kind of follow their emails compared to my emails or our emails, the ones under my name, you can kind of just see how the city's made up. And so, we would love to continue to see the startup community, the entrepreneur community, continue to be a very important and common conversation. And that's just going to add another layer to what our just the education and another layer to what our audience gets to absorb. We are not the cheerleaders necessarily of Sacramento. We're reporting on Sacramento, but boy, it's fun to have those stories, and it's fun to have that other industry just booming. We're here for it.
That's cool. Well, I feel like in terms of what a healthy hometown looks like, if you've got small business and entrepreneurship thriving and doing well, then that's great for the sustainability of the town. And I believe Sacramento is one of the only major cities that is actually growing. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento region is growing, where other major metropolitans within California are losing population. And I think California as a whole is losing a little bit, but Sacramento is growing. So I think part of that, I guess, it ties to do with entrepreneurship. But you mentioned people care about properties and real estate as well as jobs. Do you have a Mark Anderson or a team that's more of the focus for them is real estate and or jobs.
Yep. Ben Vandermeer.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Vandermeer is one of the best real estate reporters we have in the country. And I'm using the country a lot. That we do. We have some real stars in Sacramento, and what we're doing has a lot of attention. We're also in the most important state capital in the United States. And so, you know, there are Austins and Columbuses and other folks kind of looking at us and keeping an eye on what we're doing. But yeah, we have a talented team, and Ben is talk about having his finger on the pulse of what's going on. I think it drives people crazy how much Ben knows that they don't want him to know.
How does he get the information? Is it a real estate brokerage? I know that you have to, if property sells, it's going to get publicly reported.
Yeah.
But I have to imagine, you know, he knows prior.
Yeah, he knows, and there's, you know, he's in the records, public records a lot. But that's a secret sauce. I can't tell you that.
Can't give it away. Okay, so you mentioned real estate, and I agree. Everybody, really, some people said, I've heard a lot, we're a government cow town, but we're kind of a real estate town too in many ways. And so there's a lot of new development that's projected, which is exciting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me right now, and I think this will lend to the entrepreneur community and the growth into the tech sector, is what could be happening downtown. I lived in and maybe I'm talking about Portland too much. Sometimes my colleagues think that. I was there when that downtown was humming. I lived downtown. I worked downtown. We had one car. We that was our life. Here, the opportunity is there to create that ecosystem. I mean, what's happening in West Sac, what's happening in the rail yards, with some of the tribes owning the properties downtown, with Sac State moving downtown. I'm always very impressed with the Broadway corridor and how it changes every day. I'm really hoping that that energy and those developments start to really add a lot of value to the core. Because I think that's the next step for us to take that leap into a business community where people really look at us and take us serious. And so when people, I think it's important to a lot of people when they're looking at coming from San Francisco or looking at coming from Southern California to kind of see what downtown looks and feels like. And I think if we continue to, we take advantage of the momentum that's already in place. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic that we're going to continue to grow and continue to have a business community that we're even more proud of than today.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it to me too. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was that you don't cover homelessness, but I imagine homelessness, it affects the business community. And so there is a direct correlation with real estate values and where we want to hang our shingle if we're an entrepreneur. And so how do you separate that, or is that off limits to talk about?
It's not off limits, but we cover it when there's facts behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Having our opinion put forward about homelessness or pushing some agenda, we just stay away from. So yes, it's a story that when we have our Redefining the Core event every year in April, and we put up a panel of developers, brokers, property owners that live, work, and play in downtown Sacramento, it's talking about, there's a lot of homeless talk, right? Mm-hmm. So those are conversations that we bring people together to have. I think that's, we have that power to select people and say, let's come together and have a discussion about this on or off the record, and see if we can do something about it. But as far as the kind of the day-to-day news, to us, that's not what we touch.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a hot topic issue, I can imagine. And there's different, there's widely divided opinions on this, which is surprising, but it's, I guess, who we are. Mm-hmm. But what about politics? Because we're really divided on politics as well, and there's hot button issues, elections happen. Is that something you stay away from?
Even though there are some
politicians that are very pro-business and others that it would be hard to describe them as pro-business. I don't want to say they're anti-business because I don't necessarily hear that coming out of their mouth, but the things that they do would demonstrate that they're not for business.
Yeah, and it's funny you ask. So when I was in Charlotte, and us being, like I said, what I consider the most important state capital in the United States, I talked to some folks that, you know, what if we did try something and dipped our toe further into the political sphere, and maybe we even call it like a California Business Journal, and we're producing content for all of our properties across the state. And I kind of went down that route as, you know, this is it's a couple of things. A, it's our audience, right? And so our audience wants to know about it. It affects business owners. It affects business decision makers. You know,
I have to imagine your audience is more right-leaning than left. Not that, is that something you guys track or wonder about in terms of demographics of your audience?
Yeah, we don't. But yeah, we would assume that.
Somewhat, because business versus people average on society, average, yes, yeah, not,
you're going to be a little more right-leaning. Yeah.
I'm in an entrepreneurs organization, and we have, we've got about 100 members. It's a little bit like the Business Journal, it mm-hmm. sounds like. So there are these little pockets of entrepreneur groups in all these different mm-hmm. cities. And so in Sacramento, there's like 100 of them. And mm-hmm. in my little small group, the Forum, I think we have two or three people that seem kind of middle of the road, kind of right, mm-hmm. One left, and the rest of us are, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much on the right, yeah. pretty much, you know, see it the same. So it's interesting to think about if that's normal in terms of your audience. I don't know, yeah. but.
Yeah, and you know, So I kind of chased that idea, right? Mm-hmm. What if we did something amazing in Sacramento that trailblazed for the rest of the country? But I sit down and I float it to a couple people who kind of straddle business and politics in town and definitely have their toe in both. And they told me, that's not what we want out of you guys. Mm-hmm. You guys are that safe place that I get my news, my business news. It's not fluff. It's real educational. It's stuff that impacts me, but it just doesn't have that overhang.
You don't have that tone.
Cloud of yeah. politics. And so to me, that told me everything I needed to hear from that point.
Because I listen to AM radio, and I would say half of the AM radio is right-leaning mm-hmm. and about half feels middle of the road. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, my take. But I think there's people that are turned off by that. Mm-hmm. And some of your audience is probably turned off by some of that. Yeah, it feels a little bit right wing.
Yeah, and it's like I said, we do everything. I want to be best in class. Mm-hmm. I want the brand to be as highly regarded as it possibly can. You know, that's a world that a lot of people own already and do it really well. And I think it's a lightning rod. It's really hard to get it right.
Well, yeah.
And we'd have to really be... We'd have to find the right person, the right mission, the right way. We'd have to build it out perfectly in order to not kind of fall into the trap where you, all of a sudden you're identified and I think it snowballs from there.
I've wrestled that with this on my show a little bit internally mm-hmm. because what am I going to be? Am I going to share just the stories of all the up and coming entrepreneurs, the successful people, the notable people? Am I going to do stuff on politics? And I guess I want to do a show where people come away feeling a little bit better. Because a lot of times when we turn on the news or we even read the newspaper, it can kind of put us in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't make you want to go out and, you know, go kick ass, yeah. right? It's not yeah. like typically you don't feel that way after watching, you know, any news.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But when I read a story about a success, somebody just sold their company in the Business Journal, that fires me up. Yeah. Oh, wow. That guy, you know, or woman,
yeah.
that's congratulations. Yeah. I remember when they first started and now look at them. That's yeah. pretty, those are inspiring stories.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's a lot of our event business too. Like I said, mm-hmm. we're not news business is going to be that factual. We're going to get it right. But the event biz is a little bit of a celebration, right? It is absolutely a celebration of Sacramento and uplifting people and putting them on a pedestal that they might not otherwise have had. And so, yeah, those feel good. I mean, walking away from events, we all walk away emotionally exhausted because A, we put a lot of work into it, and B, you get it and it's a yes. Those stories, those speeches, everything happened the way we wanted it to, and we got the most out of it, and we think that's good for the community.
Well, when I said that there are things that I really like about the Business Journal, one of the things I was going to mention, I love the Booker list, and every week you promote the top 25 mm-hmm. of some category within business. Those are always fun to look at on a weekly business basis. So the recognition of, you know, the largest revenue, the largest nonprofits, those kind of things, that's really interesting to me. I really like profiling those, or just even to getting your name put on a list is kind of, I don't know, it feels good. It's a sense of accomplishment. You've made it. Oh, I made a list, yeah. right? And I've been fortunate enough to get recognized by the Business Journal for a couple of different things where in an event I got recognized. That feels really good. Mm-hmm. But I've been to other people's as well. And so I would agree with you that you are telling the positive stories at those times. That is what you're doing. And to me, that's quite inspiring. And the events specifically are a great way to spread the love of Sacramento. You got Sacramento people, the region's Sacramento. You've got those people coming together, getting to know each other and breaking bread a lot of times, maybe having a cocktail or something. And I mean, that's how business gets done. That's good stuff.
And AI is not taking that away from us, right?
No chance.
So yeah, I mean, our networking is always a very intentional portion of our events. We're never going to do something where you're walking in and sitting down. In fact, if we can, we try to corral you in a different room before you can go into and sit down so that you have to mingle. It's authenticity too there. I mean, you can't buy an award. Mark Anderson, when he awarded you for something, had no idea if you were an advertiser or not. And so as long as we keep doing that, people are going to, the awards are going to mean, they're going to be meaningful. They're going to put people, they're going to validate people. I'm a believer that any company in town that I want to meet with or get to know, I have an opportunity at some point throughout the year at one of our events. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm fortunate to see the attendee list every time, but that's pretty cool to say. And I felt that for a long time.
Yeah, it's really cool. One of the things that we do at our events is we talk about the love piece. We talk about, you know, this culture of love, which is really helping each other, inspiring one another, picking each other up when we're down, and engineering wins. And so kind of like a system or a culture where, if you're from Sacramento, you're on my team. So let me help. I want to help you. Oh, you should meet this guy. And we start off a lot of our events talking about one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And it begins with one simple question. What are you working on? How can I help? And if you start with this give first, pay it forward philosophy at a networking event, instead of the, hey, I want to meet you and sell you something. You're like, no, let's just help each other and good stuff happens out of the showing a little love.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit in between there, it's hard to say no to somebody. There are good people in this town. There are good business people in this town. There are good business people in this town that get probably 1,000 emails a day from various sales vendors. But you meet somebody in person, you show them you're genuine, you show them that you care, you ask the right questions. That person may give you 20 minutes because it's hard to say no to somebody face to face. And so, seems like the community is getting out there right now. It seems like events are fully back. Ours are larger than they were in 2019 at this point. So we're happy with that. Others seem to be growing as well. So I think people are seeing the value of that. There's a lot of noise in the email. There's a lot of noise in the LinkedIns. But business happens when you sit down and shake hands with somebody.
Okay. So what's next? What's on the horizon? What's coming up, let's say in the next week, next quarter that our audience and your audience, there may be, I'm sure there's some overlap. What's happening? What should we be looking out for?
Yeah. So, Best Places to Work is next week. That's one of our largest. So everyone's all hands on deck for that.
One of my companies got a Best Places to Work. They felt so proud of themselves. Good.
It's a real recognition. You know, we partner with an organization that pulls your employees, you get a report back, you get an asset, even if you don't quite make the cut. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good celebration of Sacramento. We're coming up to the busy time though. I mean, we have Inno Awards, which
Innovation Awards. That feels really good. Yeah.
Best real estate projects, fastest growing companies. You know, I think for your audience, keep an eye on those fastest growing companies. Keep an eye on when those nominations are available or when those open up. They'll open up pretty quick.
You got to be a certain revenue number before you can be a fastest growing, right? You can't be like one going from $1 to a million.
Yeah, it's I think about $500,000.
Okay.
We look for a certain number of employees too. Sole proprietors don't really qualify. Okay. It's over a 3-year period, and your last year you have to grow. So it has to be consistent growth, and then the most recent year has to be a positive year. We partner with an accounting firm on that. They look at your numbers.
I remember. So you have to be comfortable with that. I've gone through that before with them. Yes,
but it's one of the most popular events for us across the country. It's a very fast growing event in Sacramento for a lot of the reasons that you're excited about Sacramento is that entrepreneur, that growth sector is becoming more and more prominent in our town. So, I think for your audience, keep an eye on that one. And if you'd like to come, it'll be in October at the Automobile Museum.
Yeah, those the fastest growing. That's an interesting one. We got that one. One of my old companies, before I sold it, it was pretty fast growing. I think we were in the top 20s and felt really proud, my brother and I, and got a, somehow we ended up with like a framed Business Journal page. Good. We were in the top 25 or something. It was super fun. But those are also the companies that are potential high net worth people, you know, because if a company's growing really fast, there's a chance that they actually make some money and maybe even have an exit or something like that. So those are really good people to know. Those are the kind of people I love to have on my show. So I should go. I don't think I've gone to anything like that in a while. I guess I've been a little bit lazy. But those would be the type of people I want to share their story on my show because, oh, wow, those are the up-and-comers.
When you mentioned lists, you know, we can't obviously track our print lists, but we can track our digital list engagement. Fastest Growing Company is the most popular list we publish every year from a digital standpoint.
When you say engagement digitally, what does that mean? People click on it?
Page views, yeah. Views to that list.
Oh,
so,
wow, interesting.
Yeah. And it's by a significant margin.
That's good to know.
So people care.
Yeah, they do.
I guess when you show 50 companies revenue, that's interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well, you got the biggest real estate developers. I think there's some people that kind of would look at our biggest real estate transactions. Yeah. Well, that's out of my league.
Yeah.
Right. But an up and comer that went from $5 to $10 million. Okay. That's that guy's going to take my phone call.
Yep. Yeah. And we're doing more kind of private events where we're picking, you know, we're selecting a handful of those folks and getting them together for lunch and asking them the hard questions and really getting to know them better. So we're learning a lot about what makes those companies tick. It's just exciting. And, you know, it's also very impressive, Mark. There's the fast growing startups, the companies of all different sizes, but then Golden One finds themselves on that list every year.
Wow.
Golden One is growing at this rate. So not only do we have this growth from a kind of a small business ecosystem and entrepreneur, some of our biggest companies are growing at these rates. So that's got to be a positive sign for our region.
It's got to.
I'm no expert.
It's got to. That makes sense to me. Okay, so what did I not ask you? Anything else you'd like to tell our audience? I just want to make sure we sort of cover, you know, the full story.
Yeah. I want to meet as many people as possible. So if you're out there watching and you have some interest in chatting and hearing about what we do, I obviously want to learn more about you than I have to tell about myself. But I want my pulse. We want to have the pulse on everything that's happening and be the center as much as we can be about for Sacramento business. I'm excited about downtown. I mentioned that. I want to own that story for the next 10, 15 years, however long it takes. I want us to be honest about downtown. K Street has all the opportunity in the world to be the street in Sacramento there where there's open air bars and restaurants and full of business people. I know it's talked about. I know it's kind of looked past, but let's be honest about where we are at downtown and keep pushing, right? Sacramento's in a very good place, and there's a long way we could still go. And I want to keep that momentum going and not be a critic, but make sure that we're honestly approaching these solutions.
Yeah. Let's realize our potential.
Realize it, yeah. Let's continue to pull those people from San Francisco for all the reasons in Southern California and Portland and Seattle and beyond.
Wow. So, thank you.
Exciting.
And congratulations on the job.
Thank
and
you.
Obviously you've built a beautiful family. Your
thank
wife
you.
Is beautiful. And I've seen the pictures on Instagram, your kids, you know, it just looks like you're kind of like the perfect couple, perfect little family with two kids.
I'm a lucky guy. So I don't lose sight on that.
I love it. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate that, Mark. Thanks so much.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.